Welcome to the Ideal Investor Show. This is the podcast where we help you challenge your mindset and discover where you are. Tired of stories about other people's success? We can help you change your life, determine your time freedom point, and join us on the journey to financial success. Let's go. Hello and welcome back. And today I want to talk to you a little bit on what's actually going on with the rental market, because we as residential real estate investors are obviously highly interested to find out how are the properties doing. And we know this from our monthly calls with our property management, but we also want to know how is the industry doing? How is the economy doing? And how is it potentially different in different regions of the country? Not only to know how that impacts our existing properties, but also at least I am, and most of the people that are working with us as clients are always looking for what could be my next investment. What area do I want to go in? Have I developed a cluster of four or five properties in one location? And where should my next cluster be? And that should typically be a good distance away. Either if you're in a large state, it could be a state like Ohio. I have properties in the Dayton, Cincinnati area, and I'm now looking to maybe build another cluster in the Toledo, Columbus area, right? So that's kind of like about 100, 150, 200 miles away from each other. Now, that's about the minimum to have two clusters. They shouldn't really touch. But a more traditional thing would be like I have another cluster in the Idaho, Illinois border area. Right now, that's a long ways away, and I'm starting to build my third cluster in the Florida, on the west coast of Florida. So, you know, you're constantly looking, and therefore, it's important to know what's actually happened with rents. And so the data, and we are now, you know, around the end of the first quarter, 2024, and the data is always lacking because they need to gather it, and then they need to basically analyze it and come up with reports. So an organization that I like to look into, or there are actually two, one is Burns Consulting. They are specializing in residential real estate and all the different aspects of it. They also do multifamily apartments and stuff and provide a lot of really good research. The other one, another organization that I can recommend in case you want to look yourself, is called CoreLogic. And they just basically published the data for January 2024. And what's kind of interesting is a lot of people in the media have made the point that, you know, real estate is calming down, prices are coming down, rents are coming down. But then, you know, what they're saying and what, I don't know sometimes where they get their data from or their information from. But then when we really go to the actual data, to the real analyzed and collected data, what we found for January 2024 is that rents grow across the nation a little less than 3%. Compared to January 2023. So that is in line with inflation. Just so you know, we have inflation around 3% right now. Rents are increasing 3% right now, which is just another little argument on the side here that having properties that pay rent and rent increasing with inflation slightly below, slightly above, always indicates that having residential real estate is a good investment. Now, the other thing that I want to get across to you is when you look at like comparing 1 month in a year with another month in a year, like for example, January 24 with January 23, that is really not the ideal sample. So what I basically wanted to see is what happened with rents between January 2020 and January 2024. And in that time frame, on average, rents have gone up 28%. So you have to ask yourself, has the income, salaries and wages for people that are your tenants gone up by 28 or 30%? I don't know that. I mean, some people may have gotten raises like that, others probably not. But most of the data that I see seems to indicate percentage amount from somebody's salary, how much is actually going into paying rent, seems to slowly creep up more and more. So when it was maybe 30% of the income went to rent, it might be 35 or 40% of the income going to rent. And keep in mind, these are nationwide average numbers, right? So the prices and the rents and stuff are obviously very different from location to location. But overall, when you look across the whole situation, the whole country, the whole economy, it's gone up 3% year over year and 28% since 2020. So that's important to know. And it basically gets rid of that myth that for some reason the media is saying that rents are going down. Now, the other thing, and then I'm closing about rent growth and how it might impact you. I want you to just be reminded. I've said it many times in our mentoring sessions, but I want to remind you about it too, is there is always a balance when we're talking about rent between having an existing tenant who hopefully has been paying dependably on time the full rent every month, you know, the whole year. And you go to this tenant and say, okay, your lease agreement, the 1 year lease that you signed is coming to an end. Let's talk about what the rent should be for the next year. Now, first, you obviously have to ask, do they want to stay or not? But I have found that most people don't want to move every year, even though they signed a 1 year lease agreement. And they also, when you ask them, realize that if they go from that 1 year or 18 months or 24 months lease to month, it is typically a pretty significant jump. So what we are doing, and you can actually copy this, and if you were a client, I would actually mentor you in that direction or coach you in that direction, is you want to have your jump from the 1 year or 1.5 or 2 year lease agreement to month be bigger than what you are planning to suggest for the renewal. So what do I mean by that? If you say, okay, you are renting the house on 123 Main Street for $1,500 right now on an annual agreement. If you go to month, then I will have to charge $1,600. If you renew your lease agreement for another year or 18 months, then I'm willing to do $1,550 or $1,575. So you can see with that offer, you're basically saying, yes, you can go on month to month, but it's going to be more expensive for you than to renew for a full year, right? So you're giving them basically a bonus and the assurance that that rent will not change, because obviously on a month to month, you could also come later and say, okay, I'm going from $1,600 to $1,650 now. Right. And month to month means kind of like both sides can end the agreement pretty quickly. Now, the other thing I want to point out. So this is an existing tenant and I spoke about there's always a balance. The other situation would be your tenant has been, let's say, in your property for 2 years and something happens with their job or their family is growing. They need a bigger place or something like that. So they announce we're going to move out at the end of this lease agreement. And so now you've refreshed your property and then you go out, or actually property management goes out into the marketplace and says, okay, we have a house, 123 Main Street available starting May 1st or something like that. Right now, if you look at it that way, now you have basically a completely new tenant with a new lease. And if you have seen that you have renewed your rent the last 2 years with the existing tenant, or 3 years if you have somebody staying that long, for like $50 or $40 a month increase, the market may have risen more. I mentioned earlier, in the time between 2020 and 2024, the market on average has risen 28%. Right. So if I say, okay, I have a property that I bought in 2020 and put a tenant in for $1,200, then basically if I had increased it by 30%, which would be $400, it would have to rent for $1,600 now. But you typically in 4 years would have not gotten a $100 increase each year. Right. So it's more likely that that property that you started with $1,200 is maybe renting now for $1,400. But when the tenants move out and you get new tenants, you would take that opportunity to put the rent to $1,600, where it should be if it had really been able to increase the rent every year by the full amount. So you get to your 28 or 30%. So new tenants, because the old ones moved out, you refresh the property. Now you're getting new tenants, give you the opportunity to bring the rent to market rate. But, and there is a big but about it, and that's what I meant by the balancing component. If you have a tenant who has been really, really dependable, and they say, well, if you increase the rent from $1,500 to $1,600, I have to move out. And you know that they have always been paying. Would you be more interested to have the $1,600, or would you say, okay, well, how much can you pay? They might say $1,540 or $1,550. Would you then rather say, okay, well, I give you $1,550 if you sign up for a whole year, That's on the one side of the balancing scale. Or when you say, well, that's too bad, then you would have to move out and I find a new tenant and the new tenant pays me 1600. And the answer is not so obvious, because on first glance, you might say, well, if the tenant is willing to move out because they can't afford $100 more rent, you get a new tenant. But the one thing that you cannot predict is if the old tenant was dependable, paying all the time on time, you don't know if the new tenant is as dependable as they make it sound like when they apply. Because I can tell you one thing, every single tenant that applies to rent a property, especially if they really like it, is going to make it sound like there is no worry in the world, they will never miss a payment. Well, I can tell you from many, many years of experience that there are frequent cases where people, for whatever circumstances, even if they had the best of intention, start struggling. Let's say they have dual income, one kid, and one of the two income earners loses their job. Boom, now you have a situation where their best intention to pay the rent on time is harder to accomplish. Does it mean they don't pay? No, but you might get half the rent every 2 weeks or something like that. Right? And property management has to stay after them much more than if they are tenants that pay regularly and have no problem with it. So that's the balance, right? Yes, you get $100 more rent and you had refreshed the property, but you don't know how dependable the new tenants are, even though they all claim that they are 100%. Versus you give a little, $50 or so less, but you know you're going to have a tenant for another year that definitely is going to pay. And keep in mind, you gave them a little break. It is not necessarily really an obligation, but if you have a good relationship between property management, you as the owner and the tenant, they will normally appreciate if you do something for them to allow them to stay where they are. Because keep in mind, if they really have to move out, it's not just that they're saving themselves the $100 rent increase. They have all the cost of moving. And they have to find another place and on and on and on and on, right? It's not cost-free for them either. So you allowing them to stay in a place that they probably like at a rent that they can afford makes and creates indirectly a little bit of an obligation that is making it more likely that they make an effort to pay you versus somebody new who pays you a little more, but who you don't know. So that's really important to realize in the context. And then I want to encourage you, last thing, to take action in two areas. If you have properties, then please go and check out your data for your area, either on CoreLogic or other information that is analyzing rental income. Burns is a good place as well. So you have an idea how your economic area is actually doing. And number two, if you like what we do, if you can hear, okay, I really want to help you. I want to help you get into good properties. I want to help you to have good relationships with property management and your tenant. And most importantly, I want to help you to actually create a passive income portfolio that gives you the opportunity at a point in the future to really decide, do I want to retire or do I want to keep working? If all of that sounds interesting, then please go to idealinvestorshow.com, find the button that says book a call, and let's have a complimentary conversation and see how I can help you get on that path. I would love to do that. You will learn something from it either way. So just take that step and let's get in touch. So that's it for today. Be well, stay safe, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.